Hi everyone, I'm Joel Premack and welcome to the Community-Led Growth Show. Each week, I will be speaking with community leaders to share insights with you all on how to build a community-led growth company. Let's get to it.
Hey everyone, I'm Joel Premack, host of the Community-Led Growth Show. Today, I'm joined by Ashley Dodge, VP of Community at Copado. Thank you so much for being on the show, Ashley.
Thanks, Joel. Great to be here.
Of course. I'm so excited to have you on the show and dive into our conversation today. But before I do, would you please give everyone a brief 30-second intro about yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. So as Joel said, I'm Ashley Dodge. I lead community at Copado. Copado is the native Salesforce DevOps solution. So I absolutely love what we do because in our community, we enable developers to deploy code faster. And so a lot of people ask me, how did you get there? Like, are you a coder? How did you end up being in community for such a deeply technical product? And I know enough coding to probably be dangerous, but I wouldn't put myself in that bucket. I actually spent the first about 10 years of my career as a software consultant in the Salesforce ecosystem, primarily focused on business analysis and business architecture. And one of the problems I saw over and over again was that we would, you know, help our customers define what they needed the technology to do. We would work with them on their user stories. We would work with them for user acceptance testing, and everything would look beautiful. And then it would get deployed and they would go, why is it broken? What happened here? And so this was a problem I saw over and over again. And it's complex in the Salesforce ecosystem because of the object model and because of the metadata. And so that's really the solution that Copado brings. And so while I'm not as deeply technical as a lot of our community members, it's a problem that I lived and breathed for so many days of my career that when Copado was really starting to launch their community, and I had this background of working in the Salesforce ecosystem, working in marketing, it kind of became this perfect convergence of my experiences and my passion areas and led me to be able to join their team back in 2020.
I love that. And now that was just like the perfect segue I could ever dream of. Thank you. For first question. Before 2020, Copado was doing a lot of in-person trainings. During 2020, pandemic happened and you all pivoted everything virtually online. What was that process like? Because that means essentially community changed at Copado, what it looked like, how people interacted. So I'd love to hear and learn more about it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's such a cool story. And I think such a good story of just resilience and how we can kind of use the changes around us, even when they're uncomfortable, to create something really good. And essentially, Copado had an online community, but it was only really a support channel. So not in the sense that maybe you and I would think of community, but it was an online way to, you know, get support help. And then we were also leading these in-person training workshops for users of our product and for like SIs that were going to be implementing our product to be able to learn, you know, the ins and outs of Copado. And so we were leading these in-person training workshops around the world. 200-300 people would show up for a hands-on workshop. And, you know, they were a smash hit. People loved the technology. People loved learning it. And then pretty much overnight, you know, March of 2020 happened. And I think we all kind of remember where we were, what we were doing when we realized the impact this was going to have on the world. And, you know, Copado also experienced that. And they said, we've sold our product to customers. We still have to teach them how to use it. We still need systems integrators to be able to bring our product into their customers and be able to stand it up and be able to be effective. And really now more than ever, companies need to be able to deploy their code faster. When we look at, you know, like the contact tracing apps and the vaccine management apps, all of those things require teams to be able to work really efficiently. And Copado was part of the solution to that. So we said, okay, we have to still be able to train people. And so pretty much overnight, over a few very short weeks, our academy team stood up the Copado community, the first version of the Copado community, and brought forth the two levels of certification that we had at the time and created learning paths similar to like Salesforce's Trailhead, where you could just go on demand and take the learning modules and prepare for the certifications. And they started hosting virtual training workshops via, you know, Zoom and GoToWebinar, where users could kind of follow along on their own machine and have a trainer there to answer questions and kind of guide them. And what's really crazy is when we saw the community as just a vehicle for support, we had about 5,000-6,000 people in it, because, you know, those were our people that were using our product at the time that needed to be able to submit a case. But the end of 2020, we had 30,000 people in our community. And so we never would have been able to reach 30,000 people with in-person events. Like, even if we had done 100 events, we wouldn't have been able to fill that many rooms or find space big enough. Yet by moving it to a virtual platform, we saw this tremendous growth. 30,000 people registered for the community. 8,000 of those people went on to get certified that first year. And so a lot of times when I'm talking to other community leaders, they're asking like, well, you know, what were your like one-on-one programs like, or, you know, how did you get started? And for us, I think the challenge out of the gate was like, how are we going to build connectedness with a community that started this big, this fast, right? How are we going to go backwards and kind of build those relationships and connect individuals? And so our challenge has been a little bit different, but it's been a really fun challenge to solve.
That's one of my favorite stories I've probably ever heard. Because I'm really curious, how have you all gone backwards to build those connective tissues? Because oftentimes I hear more so people saying, we're really just going to start small. We're testing it 10, maybe 100 people small first, grow it or really organically, and then just watch it slowly multiply. But again, very organic, allowing those connections to really be built and that fabric to start from like a cultural standpoint, really. So how are you all going backwards? Well, not today, but after this explosive growth of year one.
Yeah, we really did have to think about that, because we knew it was important for the health of our community members, the stickiness of our product, that we needed to build those inroads, right? It couldn't just be a place that you came on an annual basis to take your training and maintain your certification. That wouldn't get our individuals the value that they needed, and that wouldn't get our business the value that it needed to see out of the community either. And so we kind of started as if we were a small community, and we focused on creating pockets of connectedness. And so we launched a welcome program where it was basically an email nurture program that guided users through different features in the community. We had videos from our community managers in there so that they could connect a face and a voice with the people that they were interacting with in our forums and discussion groups. We spotlighted members that were really active in the community so that they could get to know one another. We launched a feature where you can follow community members. So if you realized you had something in common with someone, you could follow them. That way you got to kind of form your little buddy system within the community. And then we really started to see that connectedness take off when we launched our mentorship program. So we launched a mentorship program in the spring of 2021. So about a year after the launch of the original community. And that mentorship program pairs two individuals, a novice and an expert, for a 6-week guided curriculum. And we run cohorts of about 12 pairs continuously throughout the year. And what we saw is like mentors wanted to become mentors time and time again, because they loved building those relationships with the mentees. And the mentees, as they would gain confidence and expertise, they wanted to become mentors to give back to the community in the same way that had helped them. And so that was where we really started to see like that connective tissue that we really wanted, and those relationships starting to bloom. And one of the coolest things for me was the next year, last year, we hosted our first ever community-led conference, and we actually had like mentors and mentees pairing up to lead sessions together. And it was just so cool to see that the relationships had formed that deep that they wanted to now, you know, go and present on stage together and share their story and inspire others to start their DevOps journeys. And so that was a really cool way that we saw those kind of smaller pockets start to form. And the last one I'll mention, because it's been such a huge success as well, is our Champions program. And so our Champions program is kind of an annual commitment where the top contributors in our companies are nominated to become a Capato champion for the year. And then they get access to like product demos and sessions with our builders and opportunities to speak on stages at events and do all sorts of really cool things. But as champions, they also are the first people to comment in our forums and to help another member solve a problem and to share use cases of how they've used our product or, you know, where they had a challenge and how they solved for it. And so that champion, those champions, just seeing their involvement in the community grow and grow as they stepped into those roles was really incredible. And now in our second year of the Champions program, we actually expanded it by 10%. So we have 10% more champions this year than last year. And a lot of really new faces, some recurring champions, but a lot of new faces in that as well. And so we've just really tried to focus on programs like that, that kind of connect individuals versus trying to focus on our overall, you know, member number as a core metric.
Oh, wow. So much to unpack, because that was amazing. First off, congratulations on the growth of your Champions program. That is no small feat, but I'm sure it has a huge impact into the member experience of the Copado community. And it must just be amazing for you all to work with so many talented individuals within the space.
It really is, yeah.
Good. Well, I'm going to dive into one thing that you mentioned. So you mentioned your user/like member-led conference and how it's all done from the standpoint of members and users of Copado submitting sessions, really it being super member-driven in terms of the content and experience. So like, would you just please share more about that? Because I feel like I've heard it a little bit. I've heard some inklings of that, but I've never heard of an entire conference that's 100% member driven. And I would love to learn more.
Yeah. So the Copa Community Day is our annual conference and all of the content is member generated. So, you know, as community managers and organizers, you know, we take care of the logistics. We, you know, figure out the right platform. We figure out the right day, the right time, kind of all of that administrative portion. But then when it comes to the content that's going to be served up, we turn to our members. So our members nominate one another for all of the awards that are given out. Our members submit innovation stories to be featured to talk about how people are winning with Copato in Salesforce DevOps. Our breakout sessions are all created and led by our members, which I think honestly was my favorite part last year, was just getting to like hop from room to room and hear our members talking about the cool things they're doing with our platform, how it's changed their businesses, but also like so many people have really cool career stories over how it helped them, you know, get a promotion or pivot in their career. So those breakout sessions have been really cool. And then we also have like roundtable discussions and ask me anything sessions. So lots of different types of content, so that if any type of learner can find something that they're going to be interested in and someone that they can build a connection with. But all of the content's created by our members. And then in between sessions, because we are doing this remotely, because our audience is so spread out around the world, we also have like pop-up networking available. So people can just hop in a room and have small one-on-one or small group conversations. And so we've gotten a lot of really great ideas for content for, you know, follow-up sessions out of those as well.
That's really cool. And I love this idea of like different formats too. Instead of it all being very presenter kind of feeling and led, I love the idea of roundtables and kind of workshopping things. AMAs, really just digging into someone's expertise, and so cool and almost like beautiful from a community standpoint. I'm sure you and your team feel this, of like the stories that you hear about how Copado has changed the lives of members of the community.
Yeah, it's really cool. And, you know, last year was the first year we did it. And I think we all ended the day just with huge smiles on our face. We were so proud to see all of our members get a little of the spotlight shown on them. And so this year we're coming back. It's going to be on March 23rd, and it's going to be even bigger than last year. We have more breakout sessions, more community speakers. We're expanding the awards segment. So it's been really cool to see how big the response was last year so that we kind of knew, you know, where to dive in and expand things and really listen to our members to make this year even bigger and better.
I can't wait to see it from the outside and hear about it from a follow-up chat with you. So
yeah, I hope you can join us.
Ooh, I can join?
Absolutely. This is your special invitation.
Yes. Thank you. I am blocking off the calendar date right after this. Not right now. So you mentioned some other great programs within the Capato community. However, I know that you mentioned one previously when we were chatting, and it to me stands out because I think it's really unique. Can you share more about your Testing Buddies program? Because Capato is super workable, super collaborative in terms of the work that it is allowing people to do within the Salesforce ecosystem. So I'd love to learn more about that and really help others explore what that could also look like for their product community too.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Testing Buddies program is new this year. And essentially, I mentioned earlier the success of our mentorship program, and that is still running. And it's kind of a 6-week guided curriculum. So we kind of provide the mentor with the information to coach the mentee. That's for our primary platform, our DevOps platform or CI/CD platform. We also have a test automation tool called Capato Robotic Testing, which is really cool. And it helps users move from functional or unit-based testing to automated testing. But there's a lot to learn on that journey. And what we found is that a lot of people who have been doing manual testing don't really know where to get started with test automation. And so we wanted to find a unique way for people who are new to test automation to partner up and to be able to learn and ask an expert and kind of show them what they were working on and get their questions answered. And we still have the self-paced learning materials, but we wanted this to kind of be a way to just to tap into expertise as needed. And so we launched the Testing Buddies program where we match up a few people who are interested in learning with a few experts. And we provide them with a discussion forum where they can interact and ask questions, as well as obviously meet, you know, one-on-one as well. And what was, I think, surprising to all of us is that when we launched the Testing Buddies registration, we had 362 people register and we had to close the registration within just a few days because we expected a few dozen people to come through the doors and say, hey, this is interesting to me. We did not expect a few hundred people. And so that was really exciting, but we had to kind of reimagine a little bit of how to structure the program when there was that big of an interest. And so thankfully, you know, some of our testing mentors were able to take on multiple buddies and support them. We ended up launching the discussion forum as a result of how many people there were so that some people could ask their questions, you know, publicly and others would benefit from those versus it all being one-on-one interactions. So the excitement around the program led us to pivot a little bit, but it's been really fun to watch that. We're in our second quarter of supporting that program, and it's just been a huge success. We saw a 130% increase in our testing certifications this last quarter. Big thanks to the Testing Buddies program and our fantastic community manager that leads that, Laura, and all of the testing mentors that have, you know, helped their testing buddies answer their questions. So it's been a huge success, and it's been something we've been really excited about this past year.
I love that. And I think it's a really unique type of program. And thank you so much also for sharing how you essentially had to expand it and a little reimagine it, as you said, once you got such a strong response. Because exactly, I think it's very common that we think it's going to be a success, but it's going to be like tamed success. It's going to take a little bit before we get to like huge numbers. But when you see a program take off like that, that really shows this is valuable and we need to do more.
Yeah. And I think it really comes from listening to our members. That was an idea that one of our community managers came up with after hearing the questions and challenges that our members were having. And so I think, again, it comes back to one of our conversations we had previously over, you know, how do you staff a community team? Is it a mixture of contractors and in-house employees? You know, and I think it can be a mixture of both, but it just comes down to like, you need to be connected to your members so that you know that you're building in the right direction. You're hearing from them what their challenges are, and you're building programs and solutions that meet those challenges.
100% agree. So one of my favorite questions personally is coming up next. You are leading the Copado community. It's one really centered around customers and users of the product. So what are one to two of your North Star metrics that you use to show ROI for the community program? And when you're either advocating for budget or really just showing the overall impact that it's had to Copado as a business?
Yeah. So historically, we've really been focused on our education metrics because that was really one of the ways that we could, you know, illustrate that we're helping our customers, that, you know, our customers are adopting our product, that they are happier, that we're going to be able to retain more customers. And so we really looked a lot at, you know, how many people are consuming our education content, how many of those are converting to become certified, and then when we see people who are certified in an account, do we notice that we retain that account or expand within that account at a higher rate? And that's been a big part of our business justification and metrics over the last couple of years. I kind of look at the last few years as our growth and experiment phase, and it's been a blast. And I think, you know, now we're over 65,000 members, and we're hitting this kind of stabilize and measure the impact phase. And so as we look at this year, we're looking at, you know, how does the community reduce customer acquisition cost? How are we reducing support cost? You know, we still are looking at those education metrics, those engagement metrics, but I feel like we've shown consistent, you know, trend data in those areas. And so now we're looking at, okay, what other areas of the business is this impacting, and how are we measuring those? How are we working with those teams to make sure that we're delivering great experiences? You know, when somebody comes to submit a support ticket, how are we making sure that we're providing them a good experience and providing the information before they ever even have to submit a case? Or if you're a partner, how are we providing the enablement materials that you need to be seen as a trusted advisor by your customers? And so we're definitely expanding that metric suite this year compared to the last few heavy growth years.
Nice. Those are super interesting. I'm really excited to hear more about how those go as you continue to look at other things beyond education as a core pillar of how you all are measuring the success of community at Copado. Now, got a couple minutes left. So favorite question, absolute top one. What are the three community trends in B2B SaaS that you're most excited for in 2023 and beyond?
Yeah, I think the current marketplace is definitely influencing a few of these. You know, we're seeing a lot of downsizing in the tech space, a lot of folks being impacted. And I see community really rising as a solution to help their product users find new jobs and career paths. And so whether that's job boards, whether that's additional training, whether that's mock interviews and resumes, I've just really seen community kind of take a stand and say, hey, we're here to help. And that's one of the things that I love about, you know, being in community is often, I think we're a team of helpers. We see problems and we want to find solutions. So I think that's going to be a big trend that we continue to see over the next couple of years. As I was talking about kind of our shift in metrics, I think that's another big trend. I think the community data is maturing, and where we used to really focus on our engagement metrics and how many people are logging in every day and how many people are posting or how many people are commenting, those all still have a lot of value. But I think as community shifts to support more and more of the business functions, that community data is maturing and the metrics are maturing. And so we're getting into more of those strategic measurements to prove out community's success and how it impacts the rest of the business. And then I think more companies are starting to see the value of their community and their community members and are shifting to more like community focused marketing. So how are they marketing to their community members? How are they using their community members' success stories in their marketing and just forming a much tighter relationship between those two areas of the business?
Thank you so much, Ashley, for sharing those great trends. And with that, thank you again for being on the Community-Led Growth Show. If people want to follow and or connect with you after watching or listening to the show, what are the best channels and or handles for them to do so?
Yeah, the best way to connect with me would be on LinkedIn. So you can include the link in your show notes. I won't make anybody type out the full LinkedIn URL, but that's the best way. That's the best place to connect with me.
Awesome. Thank you so much and have a great day.
Thanks, Joel.